1 Corinthians 12 and 27. It says, now you, or ye, are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Amen. Somebody said, I am the body.
I am the body.
Praise God. Now look at your neighbor and say, you are the body. Look at another person. Tell them, you are the body. Praise God. With God's help, I want to talk to us tonight about the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help in this service tonight. Lord, we love you today, God. We're thankful for your precious word, God, your word that's already anointed, Lord. We ask that you would allow it to minister to every heart, to every need, to every situation, God. Give us ears to hear and to accept and to receive your word. God, we ask it today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this opportunity. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. The verse that we read here tonight is at the end of the chapter that talks about the body of Christ. We kind of picked it out of the middle of the chapter there. But we see here that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he's ultimately addressing them. If you read a lot of the book, 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's addressing issues and problems that they were having in the church. Now, I'm not trying to address any issues tonight, so don't anybody get too worried, but I do believe that we can glean a lot from what the Apostle Paul wrote. I believe that we can glean a lot, and it can help us to understand better how we are to behave and how we are to act and even to think about one another. Amen. How we are to think about our brothers and our sisters. How we are to think about the body of Christ. Praise God. If we go back a little bit, go back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to read on, we're going to read through this, and we're going to go through it a little bit, and we're going to break it down just a little bit, piece by piece. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Praise God. We're picking this verse up. And if we were to read, and we're not going to go back into it, but if you were to read the prior verses in this chapter 12, you would see that the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about diverse gifts and their usage in the body of Christ, their usage in the church. Amen. He talked about tongues and interpretation of tongues. He talked about prophecy. And all of these things are detrimental. They're important to the church. They're important to the body of Christ. And he's teaching them. And so if we take it in that context, we can understand that he's telling them these things in reference to spiritual gifts. Verse 11 tells us that all of these gifts work together. They work together. They complement one another. They help one another. They work in unison. Amen. They work for the edification and for the building up of the body of Christ. All of these things are important. In verse 12, we read, and Paul is basically saying that we are all part of the body by the power of the Holy Ghost, by God's Spirit. God's Spirit is what births us into the body of Christ. Amen. Whether you've grown up in church, and I know that there are people here that have grown up in church, and I'm thankful for that. I say praise God to that. You have a better testimony than I do. Amen. Or maybe you've been living for God for 20 years, and I think that that's awesome that you've been living for God for that amount of time. Amen. Maybe you've only got a few months under your belt. Praise God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have to start somewhere. But regardless of where we come from, regardless of our past, we become a member of the body of Christ when God fills us with His Spirit. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. If somebody tells you that you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved, you can just show them right here that you have to be baptized into that one body. Praise God. If God has filled you with His Spirit, if He's given you the gift of the Holy Ghost today with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, amen, then you are part of the body of Christ. You're part of God's body. Praise God. And can I tell somebody tonight that if you have not experienced the Holy Ghost, if you have not been filled with His Spirit, you need to. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are so many things in this world that we are not able to overcome by our own ability, by our own strength. Amen. But when God puts His Spirit down inside of us, He gives us power. Amen. In Acts it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. We don't get the power before God gives us the Holy Ghost. We get the power after He fills us with His Spirit. Amen. And it's not just a one time and you're done type of a thing, but it's an everyday. It's a continual renewing that we need in God. It's a continual renewing in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost I got yesterday is not good enough for what I need today. Amen. But I need a renewing. I need it to be overflowing in me so that it can push out of me anything that's not of God. Praise God. Praise God. So when we are baptized into His Spirit, when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we become a part of this body. Amen. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, let me tell you, you need to get on this train. Amen. You need to become a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Don't wait. Amen. Don't wait. Don't fool yourself to believe that you've got time, or that you've got time later on down the road, or that there's another opportunity. Amen. Don't waste this day. Don't waste this opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. I want to be a part of His body. Amen. I want to be a part of Him. Praise God. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. The entire church or the body of Christ is not one person. It's not made up of one person. Amen. One person cannot fill all the roles that are needed to be filled in the body of Christ. Praise God. I know that He gives to some 10, He gives to some 5, and to some 1. Amen. I understand that. I understand that some people have more talents. Some people God blesses with more abilities. Amen. But with that comes more responsibilities. But no matter how many talents God has blessed you with, no matter how much God has given unto you, it takes more than just one person to become the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. It's not one person that fills the roles, nor is it one type of person. Praise God. You know that God did that on purpose? God put different types of people in the body of Christ. God put people with different personalities in the body of Christ. God made each and every one of us different. Praise God. Amen. If you want to see two people that are completely different, look at my wife and I. Amen. We joke about this all the time because we are polar opposites. We are so far different from one another. Amen. And they say opposites attract. Amen. Well, opposites should attract in the body of Christ as well. Don't look at the differences that somebody else has as a negative thing. Look at them as something that's positive, that God can use something that they have that you don't have, or something that you have that they don't possess. Praise God. We're all different. We do things differently. We say things differently. We go about tasks differently. We have different upbringings. Amen. We come from different backgrounds. We have different ideas. Praise God. And that's not a bad thing. God uses those things. God uses those backgrounds. God uses our upbringing so that we can help somebody else, so that we can minister to somebody else. And you know what? It's all right if we're a little bit different. Praise God. Praise God. That doesn't give anybody permission to go crazy, all right? But we need to be a little, we need to be different. You need to be yourself. You need to be what God made you to be. And if you don't know what you need to be, amen, and I can attest to that, because before I came to God, I didn't know who I was. Amen. I was whoever I was hanging out with that day. I was with whatever crowd I was with that day. Whatever I had to do to fit in, I became that. I was like a chameleon. I just fit in with whatever crowd I needed to be with. And the greatest thing that God ever did for me was He gave me a personality. He gave me a purpose. He gave me something that I could say, this is what I believe, and on this is what I stand. Praise God. He gave me an identity. Praise God. Praise God, and I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Knowing that God has made us differently. Knowing that God has called all of us into this same church or the same body. Why would he do that? Because he wants to torture us? Amen. Because he has a good sense of humor? Possibly. Amen. I do believe that God has a good sense of humor. Amen. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 15. It says, if the foot say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Amen. If the entire body was an eye, how would we hear? Amen. Praise God. If the whole body was an ear or could hear, that's all that we could do, was hear, how would we smell? Amen. And that's, let me tell you from experience, that's not a bad sense to lose, all right? Amen. Praise God. But we need these parts, all of these parts. God made us different and called us to this place for a specific reason. He called you here for a reason. Praise God. Maybe he didn't need another eye at this church, but maybe he needed a nose, or maybe he needed a hand. Maybe he needed a foot. Praise God. And so when he called you into the body of Christ, he had a specific part. He had a specific member in mind that you could fulfill. Every part, every member of the body of Christ is needed. Every member. Every one of you. Praise God. Praise God. Don't believe the devil when he tells you that you aren't needed. Amen. Because he'll try to tell you that. He'll try to tell you that you're not needed in the church. That there's no need for you. That there's so many other people that can do it better than you. And there's so many other people that can do this and do that. And I can't do anything. That's a lie from the devil. God gave every individual a talent. Amen. Even if it's only one. But God wants to see what you're going to do with that one talent. God wants to see what you're going to do, if you're going to be faithful or if you're going to bury it in the ground. He gave every person here, he called you here for a reason. Praise God. God put you here, whether we understand. And you know what? There's times, and I'm just going to tell you from my experience, when I first came to God, I felt like I had no purpose. I felt like I had no reason. Amen. And I began to pray, and many of you can say amen to this. You begin to pray and you begin to seek after God. God, what's your calling? What's your purpose for my life? What's your desire? Because when we come into the body of Christ, we may say, well, I'm pretty smart, so I want to be the head. I want to be in charge of this whole thing, and I want to tell everybody what's going on. Amen. Well, maybe God had it for you to be the foot. Amen. Maybe he wanted you to carry people around. Whatever the case may be, God has a purpose. Praise God. Verse 18, it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Amen. Not as it pleased you, and not as it pleased me, but as it pleased him. No, wait a second. I'm not so sure that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I don't know that they should be a part of this body. Do you know how bad they are? Do you know how far they've come? Oh, do you know what they did before they came to God? They do this or they don't do that. And we can begin to pick apart pieces of the body. But you know what? That's God's business. If God called you into his body, he had a reason for it. He did it as it pleased him. This isn't your body and it's not my body. It's Christ's body. And we are just members. We're just a little part. Amen. I'm not diminishing that. Amen. I feel awesome. I feel amazed. I feel astounded to be a part of the body of Christ. Even if it's just a little member, I just want to be a part of the body. Praise God. Praise God. We're just members. It's Christ's body. And you know what? He can add to and he can take away whomever he pleases. We don't have a say in that. If God fills someone with the Holy Ghost, praise God, we shouldn't be negative about that. We should be rejoicing about that. Amen. I'm not saying that anybody isn't. Praise God. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But when someone receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, that doesn't take anything away from me. When someone's baptized in Jesus' name, I'm rejoicing with them. Amen. Just like somebody was rejoicing with me when I went down in the waters of baptism. When God filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't diminish from you. It doesn't take away from you. It doesn't take your position. God calls somebody for a different place, for a different member, for a different part of the body of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. We need to want to be a part of this body. Praise God. No matter how big or small, no matter, I just got to be a part. I don't care how small a part. I don't care how minuscule, how minute a part. I've got to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. We need to desire to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Verse 19, reading on, moving on. It says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Praise God. If I could, as I was reading this, if I could paraphrase it or sum it up, I would say it like this. We are in this together. Praise God. Whether you like it or not. Amen. Praise God. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like your neighbor who's sitting next to you, and I hope that you do. Whether you love your neighbor, amen, who's sitting across the church from you, and I pray that you do. Amen. You know what? We're in this together. Amen. And what's our goal? Praise God. What's the goal? What's our goal tonight? Amen. We've got to make it to heaven. That's our goal tonight. We have a common goal tonight. Every one of us here tonight has a desire to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. Is that why you do what you do? Is that why you come to church? Is that why you worship the Lord? Is that why you give your life to God? Amen. If we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. That's what the Bible says. If this is all that there is, I don't want it. Amen. But we have hope. We have a goal that we're shooting for. We have somewhere we're wanting to go. Amen. And you know what? When we make it to heaven, amen. When we make it to heaven, there's not going to be people that dislike each other. There's not going to be people that have a vengeance against another person. There's not going to be someone that's got something in their heart. Amen. That's got something in their mind against somebody else. It's not gonna be there. Amen. So if we're gonna spend eternity together up there, we might as well get used to one another down here. We might as well fall in love with one another down here. Praise God. Praise God. Well, they're different and they don't do things the way that I do them. Praise God. Because they're a different member. They do things differently because God called them to do a different way. Amen. But that doesn't mean that you can't love them. That doesn't mean that you can't accept them. That doesn't mean that you can't accept them as part of the body of Christ. Because they may think the same about you. Amen. They may not could stand you. Amen. But they're just putting on a big smile and a big Holy Ghost smile and shaking your hand and loving on you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're in this together. Praise God, all the way to heaven. We're in this together. Every one of us here tonight has a purpose and a reason for being here. Every one of us is a part of His body. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Praise God. And not only do we have a common goal, not only are we wanting to go to heaven, but we want to take somebody with us. Amen. We want to tell somebody else about it. We want there to be more members in this body. Praise God. I know I said it already that one person cannot be the body. But in a smaller church, and you know this, many of you, I don't have to tell you this, but the smaller the church, the more the roles that you have to fill. And the more places that you have to be. And the more members, the more parts of the body that you have to take on. So if we get more people, amen, if we win more people to God and God fills them with the Holy Ghost, amen, and we baptize them in Jesus' name and they begin living for God, amen, it only takes the load off of you. Praise God. We need some members. We need some more members. Amen. Praise God. Verse 21, reading down, it says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you." We don't have the right to tell another member of the body, "Yeah, you know what, I really don't need you. You really don't belong here." Because it's not really our choice, is it?
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 22, "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary."
Amen.
That word necessary translates to needed, essential, or required. So those feeble parts, the what you might think, and what comes to mind when I think about this, I think of that those talents. And there's that person that has those five talents, amen, that God gave to him. And he has all the abilities and he can do anything. You know those type of people that they can do anything that they put their hand to. And then you're this lowly person and you've only got the one talent and you don't know what to do with it. And you begin to think, "Oh, well, what am I supposed to do?" And that person with the five talents begins to think, "Oh, well, that person, they only got one. They're not worth anything. They can't contribute anything to this body." Praise God. But the Bible says that those that are more feeble are necessary. They're essential. We've got to have every single member as a part of the body. Paul said they're necessary. There isn't anybody in the church that is beneath you. Praise God. There's nobody in the church that's beneath me. There's no big I's and little U's in the body of Christ. If you want to get technical, we're all little. We're all little. Because if we compare ourselves to the head, amen, if we compare ourselves to Christ, we are very insignificant. Praise God. Verse 23, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow much more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." God did that. God did that. The more feeble, the less honorable, the part that maybe we overlooked and we didn't think was important. God tempered it to give more abundant honor to that part because every part is necessary.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? The first shall be last and the last first. That's a lesson in humility. It is. That's a lesson in humility. Just because we think that we are the most important part, just because we think that this church couldn't go on without me, this program couldn't go on unless I was a part of it. Amen. Let me tell you something. We may be in for a rude awakening if we were to see things the way that God sees them. Amen. Because the smallest, the most, the least honorable parts, God lifts them up. God promotes them. God elevates them. This is where humility can come in. That's where we recognize that we are nothing and that God gives us every talent and every ability that we possess.
Amen.
Nothing that I have. You know, before I came to God, I didn't have anything. Praise God. I thought I did. I thought I had it all figured out. But I'll tell you, I had nothing figured out. But after I came to God, after I gave my life to God, God began to give me talents. God began to give me understanding. God began to put into me wisdom. Amen. God began to put into me knowledge. Amen. God began to use me. Amen. But that's no glory to me. God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. God may, if you're an awesome saint of God, and I know that there are some awesome saints of God, people that have been living for God, people that have been working for God for years. Amen. Praise God, but God did that for you. If don't let yourself get elevated. Don't let yourself get lifted up. Because you know what? God can take it away and He can give it to somebody else at any time. Praise God. We need to esteem our brothers and our sisters higher than we do ourselves.
Amen.
The only way that we can do that is to bring ourselves down a few notches. We have to keep ourselves humble. Praise God. We have to keep ourselves with the right attitude. And not to say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, or I can do better, I can do that better than so-and-so. Well, maybe you can, but that's not where God called you. Amen. Verse 25. Let's go on. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I've never had a pinched nerve. But when I read this, that's what came to mind, that schism. Amen. That a pinched nerve. I know of people that have had pinched nerves that it would numb entire parts of their body. It would immobilize them. It would be in such excruciating pain that they would not even be able to function. Praise God. That's how intricately our body is tied together. This little bitty thing, this little bitty nerve in our back or in our hips, wherever it may be, has the power to bring a person to their knees. That word schism, if you look it up in the original, it literally means division. Praise God. And God doesn't want there to be any division in His body. None. Not even a little bit. Not even the inkling. He wants all the members to care for one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffereth, all members suffer with it. If one of us is suffering, all of us suffer. The entire body is going to suffer. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. All of us are connected. If we look at it in comparison to our physical body, we can see how intricately everything in our body is tied together.
Amen.
It's true. I remember going to the chiropractor once, and I had a pain right in the middle of my back. And it was sore. I had difficulty sleeping, and it caused me pain. And I was like, I've got to get this taken care of. I figured I slept on it wrong, or I twisted, or something happened. But I went to the chiropractor. And I had a little bit of pain in one of my ribs too, but I just thought, oh, well, it's nothing. It's, you know, it's not related. When I got there, he began to feel around on my back, and he felt one vertebrae, one bone that was out of place. One. And it was out of place, just a couple degrees rotation out of place. But the crazy thing is that this one vertebrae had pulled muscles in my body that had actually caused two ribs to be pulled out of location, out of place. And as I laid on my back, the chiropractor told me that this tension on my back had been pulling on my hip, and it had caused one of my legs to be an inch and a half shorter than the other one. Okay, I'm 5'9", and I'll claim that, and I need all the height I can get. An inch and a half, that's crazy. All right? An inch and a half shorter than the other leg, all because of one little bone. One little piece was out of place, and it messed my entire body up. Praise God. Praise God. But, you know, I'm not talking about a physical body tonight. I'm talking about the body of Christ.
Amen.
How can one little thing, one little schism, cause so much damage throughout the body? How can one member cause so much damage in the body? Because everything in our body, just like our physical body, everything in this spiritual body is so intricately tied together. Verse 27, the verse that we read, it says, now you are the body of Christ. You, every single one of you, are a part of the body of Christ. All of you. Everybody under the sound of my voice. And you are members in particular. Praise God. Several years ago, I preached a message and I talked about the body of Christ a little bit. And I titled that message, Don't Be the Hangnail. I don't know if anybody remembers that. That's been several years back. Amen. Don't be the hangnail. We desire to be different parts. I don't know of anybody that desires to be the hangnail. I know that may sound funny, but if you take a second and you really think about that in the context of what we're talking about tonight, amen. God has a purpose for every one of us. We are called to be His body. Some of us are going to be the hands. That's glamorous. You know, we get to do things. We get to build things. Some of us may be the feet. We get to walk around. We get to move this body in the direction it needs to go. Some of us are going to be the eyes, and some of us might be the ears. But you know what? God needs somebody to be the toe. Amen. Praise God. That's that feeble part, that less honorable part. God needs somebody to be the toe. And you know what? I know it may not seem glamorous. It may not be a great title. Oh, well, I'm Mr. Toe. Amen. But someone has to fill that role. Praise God. Praise God. This probably fits with the scripture that we read about the uncomely parts. But this is an essential part. If you've ever read about this, and from what I understand, if somebody loses their big toe, it is very difficult. They almost have to learn to walk again because they lose their balance. Your big toe is so intricately involved in the balance of your body that if you were to lose a toe or several toes, that it's very difficult to keep your balance and to keep yourself upright. This little part has an essential function. Praise God. Without the toes, we wouldn't be able to balance. We wouldn't be able to stand. We wouldn't be able to walk. We wouldn't be able to go where we need to go. We would have a hard time as the body of Christ. If we didn't have the toe, we couldn't get the mouth to where it needed to be to speak the word of God. Praise God. Every member has a unique function. Unique. And you know what? Every person's function, every person should add to the body, not take away from it. We need to be unified with one goal, one purpose. Amen. We need to be with the, as the Bible calls it, in one mind and one accord. Praise God. I said earlier that God called us each to be a part of the body. You know, nowhere in my Bible is anybody called to be the hangnail or anything negative. God doesn't call negative things into the body. He doesn't call cancer into the body. Nobody's called to be a disease. Nobody's called to be a sickness in the body of Christ. Nobody. All of these things attack and they hinder and they hurt the other members of the body. All of them. They are counterproductive. They are a negative influence. They keep the other members in the body from doing the things that God called them to do. If you're the toe, but somebody's the hangnail, amen, you're not going to be able to move very much. Amen. I know that's funny, but it's so very true. We need to be something that adds to the body of Christ, not something that takes away from, not something that pulls away from the body of Christ. Praise God. We don't want to be something that's going to hinder our brother or our sister. We don't want to be something that's going to hinder another member of the body of Christ. Praise God. On the other hand, and we read it in the verse, it says, when one part of the body is honored or lifted up, the whole body rejoices with it. That's how it should be. Amen. When somebody is blessed by God, it shouldn't spark jealousy or anger. It should make us excited that a part of the body is being honored, that somebody's being blessed by God. Because if God will bless them, God can bless you. Amen. If we believe that we're all in this together, then we understand that we are directly affected by their blessing, by somebody else's blessing. Amen. If God blesses somebody, He's blessing the work of God. Amen. He's blessing the furtherance of the work of God. Praise God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn there with me tonight. Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given unto me, or through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Don't think of yourself. Don't lift yourself up. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're tied together. We're in this together. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Whatever God has called you to do, it's important. It's important. And let me go a step further. Let me say this way. It's essential. Whatever God has called you to do, it is essential in the body of Christ. It is essential in the church. Amen. If that's a Sunday school teacher or an evangelist, if he's called you to be a prayer warrior or a leader in worship, every single part is necessary. Amen. Well, God didn't call me to do any of that. Well, God called you to reach somebody. God called you to be a soul winner. Amen. God called every single one of us to be a soul winner. So if we don't have any other thing that we can do in the house of God, we can win somebody to God. Praise God. Every single need, every single member is needed. Every single member works together to make the whole. That's how God intended the church to function. I can't tell you, and I know Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy can say amen to this. I can't tell you how many times I've taught a Sunday school lesson or in the teen class, and then I would come out later that evening, that service, or maybe the next service, and Brother Worse would teach on the exact same thing that we had covered. Amen. Or I've been in prayer about something, and God laid a thought on my heart, and then the next service, the man of God preached to that specific need, as if God had heard me when I in my mind, God had heard what I was thinking. Amen. And that's how God works. Amen. What's done in the Sunday school works together with what's done with the teens, works together with what's done across the pulpit, which works together with what's done in your home. Amen. All of these things tie together to build us up. Amen. And to help us to draw closer to God and to establish us. Amen. It's not a coincidence that the man of God begins to preach on the same thing that you heard in Sunday school, young people. That's not a coincidence. God's confirming to you that he's speaking through the ministers. Amen. Through the Sunday school teachers, through the man of God. God is confirming that he's working and that he's intricately involved in each of these members. Praise God. We're all working together for the same goal. Amen. The Sunday school teachers want to see these kids saved. Amen. And those of you, the young people that are helping in Sunday school, that ought to be your goal. That ought to be your focus. These young people need to be saved. These children need to be saved. If they don't have the Holy Ghost yet, they need the Holy Ghost. They need somebody to pray with them for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's why a pastor preaches. Amen. That's why he tells you things that sometimes we don't want to hear. He tells us things that sometimes they don't jive with us. We don't want to hear them because they go against our flesh. Amen. But we need to hear them because it's going to help us. It's going to build us up into the body that he desires for us to be. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, amen, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. That word edifying means to build up. Amen. That's why he gave us all of these people in our lives. That's why he gave you a Sunday school teacher. Amen. That's why he gave you a pastor. That's why he allows you to hear preaching from evangelists and teachers. Amen. All of the fivefold ministry. He does this for the perfecting of the saints and for the edifying or the building up of his body, which we're members of, which we're a part of. We want to build one another up. We want to be a part of that building up process, not the tearing down process. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth or thereafter be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we've talked about all these different parts of the body. Amen. And different members taking on different parts of the body. But we see here who is the head. And it's not me and it's not you. Praise God for that. Somebody said amen. We don't have to be the head. We don't have to lead this whole thing. We don't have to run this whole thing. We don't have to understand how it's all going to work out. But God does. Christ is the head. And so all things work together for him, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, from the head, or Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're not going down. Amen. And we're not bringing somebody else down. We're going up. Amen. We're going up higher. Praise God. The only way that we can do that is when we hook up with God. Is when we connect with him. It's when we realize that he is the head and we're following his lead. Whatever direction he would want us to go. If the body is joined together correctly and we are working together correctly, there is going to be growth in the body. There's going to be growth that takes place in the body. And I don't know about you, but I want this body to grow. I want this church to grow. Amen. I know that's your desire. I know I'm not alone in that. I want to see people saved. I want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to see others come and become part of this body. Because this body's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. Amen. And he has plenty of room for others. Praise God. The musicians would come tonight. A couple more scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. You know, I don't have anything that I'm proud of in my past. In fact, I'm ashamed of my past before I came to God. I don't like to talk about it, although I do tell people because it is a testimony and it gives God glory. But, you know, I don't have anything to be proud of. But God forgave me. God forgave me of a whole bunch. Amen. Amen. And I know that he's done the same for many of you. And if God has forgiven you of so much, shouldn't we forgive one another of the little things? Amen. If you have something against a member of the body, I want to encourage you, get it taken care of. Don't let it linger. As Paul wrote there in Ephesians, put it away from you. Get rid of it. Take care of it. Go to that person, and if that's what it takes, go to them and talk to them and forgive them, or ask them to forgive you, or whatever. Ask God, God, take this out of my spirit. Take this out of my attitude, because I've got to be saved. Don't be the hangnail that causes the entire body to suffer. Praise God. One last verse, Psalms chapter 133 and verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's pleasant when things are in order. And I know I'm that type of a person. I like things to be in order and everything goes a certain way. But it's pleasant when things are going right. It's pleasant when there's unity in the body of Christ. It's pleasant when people work together. It's like a well-oiled machine. Praise God. And you know what? That well-oiled machine is going to be more effective in doing the work of God if there's unity. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift our voices right now. Why don't we stand together in this house and let's thank God. Let's thank God for His Word. Let's thank God for His goodness today. Lift your voice right now.